All right, and we are now going to be joined by our race feeding crew chief, Chris Gayhart. Thank you for waiting. I know we had you in that seat for a good stretch here, so thanks for hanging with us. But congrats on another win. It's Denny, and just talk to us a little bit about that call that was able to get him there out front to really bring home the victory.
Well, I mean, strategy races are so hard in the Cup Series because there's so many bright minds capable of altering their strategy at any point. And then, you know, we had a few extra things come up here with, you know, the weather pushing us back and darkness coming in. And, you know, of course, caution's coming when they do. And then, you know, who's running where and when and changing, you know, kind of shift gears on the fly. But, you know, it just comes down to great people. You know, I got a great group of guys around me. And, you know, we really spend a lot of time going over every detail of a race weekend, depending upon the place we're going. And, of course, Pocono and strategy is no different. You know, and then Denny's trust in you know, my ability to make the calls that win or lose, he's in there no matter what, and you know, it works well like that.
Okay, we're going to take questions now for Chris if you have one. Once again, just friendly reminder, please raise your hand within the Zoom platform or send us a chat and we'll see it there. Well, we're going to take our first question from Jeff Gluck. Jeff, go ahead.
You know, Chris, I mean, the season started off and it was all Hendrick and the talk was about Chevy's new car and how that's given them such an advantage. And it seemed like, you know, you guys were behind and especially the West Coast swing. Now it just seems like there's a lot of parity and it seems like maybe you and the four are right there as championship contenders. We don't hear as much from Hendrick. Where do you see things shaping up right now as far as the whole championship picture?
Well, that's the neat thing about our sport, right? You guys go into an off season and hear no rules changes except for, you know, 750 packages, but which aren't, you know, a large part of our schedule, of course. And you think to yourselves, wow, the Gibbs cars were so awesome. They'll just be awesome again. And that implies that everybody else is going to go home and take a nice holiday for 2.5 months. Well, at this level, that's not going to happen. You know, those guys don't take to losing very well. They're winners just like we are, and they want to win, and they're going to figure out how to get it done. So I honestly knew when the Chevy guys had the new body coming on board, you look at all the factors that go into that. They're not doing that to bring something that's just as good. You're not going to do that. So I knew they were going to be tough. You know, that whole Hendrick organization and all the Chevy guys are more than capable of winning races. They're all championship teams in their own right. So, where does it put us now? Well, I think when you're the guys out front and everybody's gunning for you, it's sort of hard to know where you stand at times. And we understood, you know, pretty quick on the West Coast swing where we were. And, you know, we got our own organization of winners and people who push and, you know, always strive to be better at everything we're doing. And that's what it takes, you know, that's what it takes to win at the top level. And when it comes to the 11 team, we just have so much fun. I just believe in my guys and what we do, and we trust each other and we trust the process, and everybody's bought in and having a lot of fun. And in pro sports of any kind, that's key ingredient number one to a great race, great team.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Stephen Conley with PRN. Stephen, go ahead.
Chris, how important was it for this weekend to have the two races where you could use race one? I mean, you guys first and second, but taking this weekend with Indianapolis running next weekend, what can you take from here and use there and then almost having race one as a practice?
Yeah. On the Indy note, a little bit, not as much as maybe you used to, but certainly some. You know, we're gonna compare notes for sure. I think the bigger point is having a race, you know, a day or two prior to an additional race at the same track. We did a similar thing at Charlotte and Darlington as well, but this was the same race car, the same weekend. You got to turn it around and go race it again. Honestly, for the 11 team, I feel like we're as good or better than most at unloading in the ballpark. Sight unseen, racetrack, lap one's the race, and having a shot to be close enough to compete for a win. So, you know, I knew we'd have to work overnight. As good as our car was last night, we did not just have the exact same setup. again, trust the people in the process. We worked on it because we knew if we didn't, other teams would, and they'd close the gap. And I honestly think our car was better today than what we had yesterday. We had a lot of damage on the car that you know, the media may not know about. We got a big hole in the nose that really messes up the aerodynamics of a place like Pocono, and had to figure out how to get that sort of patched up. We didn't get it great, but as good as could be. And then left rear fender damage, you know, it's a lot. So it's a very tough weekend. And I think, you know, hopefully you guys saw a lot of nuances in it, comers and goers. And of course it ended up being the 11 and the 4 in the end, either way, which I'm quite proud of. To put my name in the same sentence as that group is an honor in and of itself. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And whatever NASCAR wants to throw at us next, we're ready for it.
And if they decide to do more of these double headers, is this something that you like and you're on board with doing more?
I like what is entertaining for you guys. That's our job, is to entertain and compete at a high level. So whatever NASCAR wants to do, I support. I will say it's very hard on the race teams. You know, we didn't leave the racetrack till after 11 last night. You drive over a half hour to the hotel and you got to be back here at 7. And there's a lot of work that goes on in between, preparing a car that just raced 325 miles to race again for 350 miles and put a professional product on the racetrack. It's very important to me and my guys to polish, our Toyota Camry up with FedEx on the quarter panel and the hood. I take a lot of pride in putting a first-class race car on the racetrack for those guys and Joe Gibbs Racing and my organization. And there's a lot that goes into that. So this is very hard, but these teams are the best in the business. We'll adapt to whatever NASCAR wants to do. We'll support.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Lee Spencer. Lee, go ahead.
Thanks, Amanda. Congratulations, Gabe Hart.
Thank you.
Real quick, what happened to the nose initially?
Yeah, so, you know, restarts at Pocono or anywhere, but at Pocono are real crazy. There's always a lot of pushing and, you know, trying to get momentum built up for turn one and a good exit for turn two. And, of course, Pocono, a lot of fanning out. And we just, you know, some cars got broke their momentum in front, had to check up, and, you know, you end up being an accordion effect when you're back there in the mid to late teens where we were at that time, and then he just couldn't get checked up in time and blasted somebody. I don't know who it was, but he immediately told me off one, man, we got to check for damage, and, you know, we got photographers back at the racetrack. We've only had them just a couple races now, so that was really helpful to be able to go to our pictures and you know, figure out what we needed to fix. But we really needed that first pit stop to get a great look at it because the area that it was tore up is very hard to see. You guys really wouldn't have been able to see it on TV. So we needed a nice close-up view in the pit box. And sure enough, we needed to figure out a way to work on it. But Pocono, where you're only going to pit three times in the whole race, you know, pretty much, you don't have a lot of time to work on it. But again, it goes back to my guys. They're so good. And whatever gets thrown their way, we're just going to figure out a way to overcome it. And I'm proud to say we did so again today.
And secondly, Hamlin said all he wanted was a chance to get back to the Final Four. You guys were really the team to beat going in there last year. And, you know, your first year as a rookie crew chief. What have you learned since then that, you know, you're just going to kind of build on now, you know, knowing that we're halfway through the season and what you have to do to get back there and give the 11 team another shot at it?
Well, from a very tangible point of view, I'm not going through the first half of the season at all these racetracks for the first time with Denny. You know, I've experienced Pocono before, I've experienced Homestead before, I've experienced Atlanta before, I've experienced Bristol before, you know, where the first half of last year, it was building a notebook and building a language with Denny and the engineers and, you know, mechanics and figuring out how to optimize a weekend. While we did well going into those weekends for the first time, certainly it's our job to come out of them much better, and we did so. So we don't have any of that this year. We have a notebook built up, and, you know, I think it shows. I think the first half of our year is a lot stronger than last year's first half, even though it was good. Moving forward, what's it take to get back to Phoenix? You just got to keep executing. The one thing I love about where the 11 team's at right now is our biggest competition is ourselves. we've not had some clean races. Martinsville, you know, we had an awful race. We beat ourselves. You look at the Coke 600, we had a winning race car there. We run second and coming to Chase Elliott at the end of the race, you know, the following few days at Charlotte. But we really had a much better car at the Coke 600, in all honesty, and just didn't get to show up because we beat ourselves. Phoenix, we beat ourselves, running in the top three and wrecked and didn't get a chance to show what we had there. So what I love about where our race team's at right now is it's a competition against us. Execute, execute, execute. If you do that, you'll have a shot to win, and that's all we can ask for.
Thanks. Have fun.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Sterling Simmons with KCOU. Go ahead.
Chris, first of all, congrats on the win today. Denny Hamlin, you know, he has 41 career wins after today. You've been on top of the pit box for 10 of them, all within the last year and a half. What is it that makes you and Denny click together as a great driver crew chief duo?
First and foremost, Denny Hamlin's really good. And he's been around the block for a long time. You know, there's a lot of stats out there. I'll give David Smith a shout out because I think a lot of what he does that will tell you that this 38 to 41, Harvick will tell you much older than 41, is a real peak. And the reason it is very simple to give you guys, you know, the inside baseball of it, it's simple. Denny Hamlin's been around this sport a long time. He's lived through the pressure. He's lived through the ups and downs. He knows the racetracks. He understands rules changes. He knows how to work with his race team. All of that comes with experience that, you know, some of the younger guys have to get that under the belt. But he's still amazingly talented from a mental acuity and a physical point of view. He's as sharp as he's ever been. So it's the best of both worlds, where some of your rookie guys like Christopher Bell, whom I think a ton of his talent, Eric Jones, those guys, they just don't have that experience side. They got the talent side, but they've got to learn how to apply the experience. And it's a whole lot more than just driving race cars. It's just an infinite amount of pressure that those guys have to figure out how to deal with and interact with. As far as our relationship together, it's just, I say the same thing every week. It's trust. I know that any racetrack we go to, Denny Hamlin is good enough to win at if my team executes well enough to give him that opportunity. And when I say opportunity to win, it's just running top five. If you're in the top five on every given week, you have an opportunity to win the way these races shake out. And vice versa, Denny trusts myself and the team that we've built. And that confidence, when you put that kind of confidence around a great athlete, you know, look out, right? And that's where we are, and we're having a great time.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our two final questions here. Zach, we'll take your question, and then we will end with Dustin Long. Zach, go ahead.
Chris, with as late as this race was running, were you asking Denny for, I guess, how the track was changing the later this race went, as well as were you concerned that the darkness may end up shortening this race ending?
Yeah, so we were keeping very close tabs on when the race was going to end approximately, and, you know, of course, when sunset is. And what we all struggle to, you know, sunset's an easy number to look up, but what we don't have a good feel for is the twilight, right? You know, and how long you can actually see past that. So it was certainly a concern. It became pretty clear about midway through the last stage that we were probably going to finish if it went green. And at that point, it became okay, who's pit, who's not pit, who are we racing against, and what strategy are they on, and what are they thinking? And then, you know, as decisions started being made, it became easier to hone in on what was best for us. And, you know, fortunately, I was convinced. I mean, it was very clear to me what we needed to do. And again, just a matter of executing. Denny's got to go out there and optimize lap time, and when it's time to bring it, you know, I'll let him know. And got to get in great on pit road. The pit crew's got to execute a great two-tire stop, and it's got to get up speed well. And we did all those things great. And then we were in a catbird seat from there. We had the best tires and a 3-second advantage.
Thanks and congrats.
Thanks.
I just want to ask you about how Indianapolis challenges a crew chief, especially with track position. Is it any more so than at Pocono or road course, or is it easier because maybe you don't have as many options because the way it typically chews up tires?
Definitely not easier. And the reason it's not is because it's pretty much a one group racetrack, and all four corners are similar to each other, and they're pretty high speed corners. Whereas Pocono is a wider racetrack. You do have options, and all three corners are quite different. Turn two at Pocono is similar to Indy's corners. So that's what teams tend to focus on, leaving Pocono and trying to apply something to Indy. Although turn two at Pocono has gotten rougher over the years, so even that's not a straight application. But, you know, really the one groove racetrack at Indy is especially in today's rules package, is cutthroat. It greatly affects the decisions that you make going into the weekend, and then when your bet gets made, how you approach your weekend. And it's one of the more compromising racetracks on the circuit, actually, in terms of how you're going to approach it and what your strategy is going to be. And then, you know, once you know, Harvick and the four guys did a phenomenal job of executing the last time we were there from start to finish, and that was really from qualifying on. And once you get a fast car like that out front at Indy, it's going to be impossible to beat them, and they proved that to be the case last time there. So hopefully we can pull that off. Indy means a lot to me, and as it does to a lot of members on my race team, so we're looking forward to it.
How do you I know you've talked earlier about the Denny's talent. How have you pushed him? How do you feel like he has gotten better even in the time that you guys have worked together, even for his talent, where he's improved in your eyes?
Well, I think it's a perfect storm. Again, you know, he's at the, in my view, at the sweet spot of his career and will be for years to come. So I'm very fortunate in that regard. He's summed all of the experiences, the goods and the bads that he's had, and he's brought them to the table to me, and, you know, has given me that platform to work with. And likewise, you know, while I don't have the experience at the Cup level that he does, I've effectively raced professionally for 28 years now at some level or another. So I think it's just the best of both worlds colliding in one. And, you know, that's a question for you to ask him as to whether or not he feels like he's been better the last 2 years. I certainly, I believe, and I don't have a problem, you know, holding this race team accountable, because I think that much of them with, you know, the resources that we have at Joe Gibbs Racing, with FedEx, with Toyota, with built around me, and Denny Hamlin as our driver, we can win every week. And I say that candidly, bluntly, wear it as a badge of honor. And I hold Denny to that same standard. And, you know, really, I've said that from day one when I walked into this job, and I still feel that way today. And I, unfortunately, 10 times now we've been able to back it up and been in contention for winning for many more. So at some point, I guess the proof's in the pudding. And at that point, you know, the chemistry just builds on itself, and it's been a great ride.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Chris, congratulations again on the win. We did just get the email letting us know that the 11 is the official winner. So congrats as well. And we wish you the best of luck next week in Indy. Thanks again for hanging with us tonight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.